First Samuel 5 through 7. Now the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon, and placed it beside Dagon. When the Ashdodites got up early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him back in his place. But when they got up early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the torso of Dagon was left. For that reason, the priests of Dagon, nor any who enter Dagon's house, step on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Now the hand of the Lord was heavy on the Ashdodites. He made them feel devastated and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territories. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The Ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, because his hand is severe on us, and on Dagon, our God." So they sent word and gathered all the governors of the Philistines to them. And they said, "What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" And they said, "Have the Ark of the God of Israel brought to Gath." So they took the Ark of the God of Israel away. After they had taken it away, the hand of the Lord was against the city, creating a very great panic, and he struck the people of the city, from the young to the old, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. And as the Ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel to us, to kill us and our people." Therefore they sent word and gathered all the governors of the Philistines, and said, "Send away the Ark of the God of Israel, and let it return to its own place, so that it will not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly panic throughout the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the people who did not die were struck with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. Now the Ark of the Lord had been in the territory of the Philistines for 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What are we to do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we may send it to its place." And they said, "If you are going to send the Ark of the God of Israel away, do not send it empty, but you shall certainly return to him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be revealed to you why his hand does not leave you." Then they said to him, "What is to be the guilt offering that we shall return to him?" And they said, 5 gold tumors, and 5 gold mice, corresponding to the number of the governors of the Philistines, since one plague was on all of you and on your governors. So you shall make likenesses of your tumors and likenesses of your mice that are ruining the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, your gods, and your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had severely dealt with them, did they not let the people go, and they left? Now then, take and prepare a new cart and 2 milk cows, on which there has never been a yoke, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves back home, away from them. Then take the Ark of the Lord and place it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you return to him as a guilt offering in a saddlebag by its side. Then send it away, that it may go. But watch, if it goes up by the way of its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done this great evil to us. But if not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Then the men did so. They took 2 milk cows, and hitched them to the cart, and shut in their calves at home. And they put the Ark of the Lord on the cart, and the saddlebag with the gold mice, and the likenesses of their tumors. Now the cows went straight in the direction of Beth Shemesh. They went on the same road, bellowing as they went, and did not turn off to the right or to the left, and the governors of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were gathering in their wheat harvest in the valley, and they raised their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced at seeing it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, the Beth Shemite, and stopped there, where there was a large stone. And they split the wood of the cart, and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, and the saddlebag that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrificed sacrifices that day to the Lord. When the five governors of the Philistines saw it, they returned to Ekron that day. Now these are the gold tumors which the Philistines returned as a guilt offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the gold mice corresponding to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five governors, both of fortified cities and of country villages. The large stone on which they placed the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. Now he fatally struck some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men among the people, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom will he go up from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up yourselves." And the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to watch over the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel mourned after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord, and serve him alone, and he will save you from the hand of the Philistines." So the sons of Israel removed the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and served the Lord alone. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the governors of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard about it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the sons of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he will save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines advanced to battle Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them, so that they were struck down before Israel. And the men of Israel came out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and killed them as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and placed it between Mizpah and Shen, and named it Ebenezer, saying, "So far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more within the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath. And Israel recovered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. So there was a place between Israel and the Amorites. Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he used to go annually on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would make his return to Ramah, because his house was there. And there he also judged Israel. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Mark 10. Setting out from there, Jesus went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. Crowds gathered to him again, and, as he was accustomed, he once more began to teach them. And some Pharisees came up to Jesus, testing him, and began questioning him whether it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send his wife away." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God created them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate." And in the house, the disciples again began questioning him about this. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery." And they were bringing children to him so that he would touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do so that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus responded again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now they were going on the road up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him, and flog him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise from the dead. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Hearing this, the other 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles domineer over them, and their people in high position exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. Rather, whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho. And later, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a beggar who was blind named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the man who was blind, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you." And throwing off his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And replying to him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man who was blind said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Hebrews 4. Therefore, we must fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also did. But the word they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united with those who listened with faith. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, "As I swore in my anger, they certainly shall not enter my rest." Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage, "They certainly shall not enter my rest." Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who previously had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again sets a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as has been said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Consequently, there remains a Sabbath for rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let's make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we must answer. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. Proverbs 14:10-18. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. One with a wayward heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good person will be satisfied with his. The naive believes everything, but the sensible person considers his steps. A wise person is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered person acts foolishly, and a person of evil devices is hated. The naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. Psalm 106:32-48. They also provoked him to wrath at the waters of Meribah, so that it went badly for Moses on their account. Because they were rebellious against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples, as the Lord had commanded them, but they got involved with the nations, and learned their practices, and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was defiled with blood. So they became unclean with their practices, and they were unfaithful in their deeds. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he loathed his inheritance. So he handed them over to the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. Many times he would rescue them. They, however, were rebellious in their plan, and they sank down into their guilt. Nevertheless, he looked at their distress. When he heard their cry, and he remembered his covenant for their sake, and relented according to the greatness of his mercy, he also made them objects of compassion, in the presence of all their captors. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name, and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shall say, Amen. Praise the Lord.